Your agency needs to clarify what it expects from employees who telework. That's according to the Patent Office Professional Association. Their president told me yesterday the recent telework controversy at the Patent and Trademark Office exposes problems with how agencies manage employees that are working outside the office. You can hear my conversation with him at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Bob Tobias is director of key executive leadership programs at American University and is following the patent and trademark telework controversy. The core of this issue, as both the Commerce Department Inspector General Todd Zinsser told Jason Miller and the POPA president told me yesterday, Bob, is essentially pretty mundane. It's how employees in the federal government fill out their time cards, isn't it, Bob?
You know, it's very interesting, Francis, because one of the key elements necessary for a successful telework program is that the standard of performance be very clear. The Patent and Trademark Office has made it very clear. You must do X number of claims for a patent in order to be satisfactory. If you do X plus, then you will get an award. If you do X plus plus, you will get an even higher award. And so the Patent and Trademark Office can do it right down to the last case. Now, what the problem is that some people choose to do acceptable performance, and they can do that work not in 80 hours, but in 60 hours. So the question is, if I can do it in 60 hours, I'm satisfied with that performance, why can't I make that choice?
I had Robert Budins on the program yesterday, as I mentioned, and my conversation with him is at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and you're exactly right. I mean, he quoted me chapter and verse as to how many cases he and his colleagues are expected to process and the time frames they have to do it. And it first of all, I would say it doesn't sound like an easy job. It sounds like it's a complex job to examine these applications and process them. And when my colleague Jason Miller talked to Todd Zinsser, the Inspector General at Commerce, about this, he indicated, yes, this is a problem, and I'm paraphrasing General Zinsser's comments, and you can read those on our homepage. But what General Zinsser told Jason, at least my understanding of it, was essentially what you just said. Some people choose to do their work and can do it in 60 hours, and so the issue doesn't seem to be, Bob, that anybody cheated the government or cheated the taxpayer or didn't hit deadlines or, in this case at least, were goofing off on the job or any of that. There's an issue with a separate issue. But in this telework case, among the examiners at PTO, none of those allegations are present. And it strikes me that this would be an opportunity to open this and add this case of performance management and expectations to the bigger stew about some of the workforce issues that you and I have talked about in the past, Bob.
I think that's exactly right, Francis. It's an extension of the telework issue. If the normal standard of work is, for example, 10 cases over 80 hours, I can do it in 60, it should be my choice to do it in 60 hours. And if I can, I've got 20 hours off. Now, the alternative is I'll do 10 cases and I'll sit at my computer and I'll be logged in, but I won't be working hard. So why shouldn't I, if the standard is 10, why shouldn't I get the other 20 hours off?
And there's also nothing wrong from the employee's perspective, and I think that's a valid perspective, Bob. From the agency perspective, there's nothing wrong either with saying, well, boy, we've set 10 as the minimum, and everybody's hitting the minimum. So maybe we should sit down with all the stakeholders that are involved and see if maybe we can move that to 11 or move that to 12 and see how that goes for a while and see if that's reasonable. But none of these have to be arbitrary and none of them have to be fixed forever. They should all be fluid. But if the expectation is what the expectation is, then it seems to me just to have somebody sit there for 20 hours and pretend they're working doesn't serve anybody either.
Exactly. Revisiting the standard, particularly, Francis, in light of new technology or new work processes that may mean that the standard is outdated, is appropriate. What I don't think is appropriate is in any way punishing someone because they meet an acceptable performance standard in 60 rather than 80 hours. It's one more way of recruiting people who are able, who are fast, who do a quality job, but want the flexibility, not in terms of higher pay, but of more time off.
One of the things that I found interesting, too, about the conversation with Robert Budens yesterday, Bob, is that it's not just a quantitative goal that's set. There is a qualitative element to the patent examination process, too, so that if they process as many as they're supposed to, but they're not processed correctly, that's knowable. It's not like, well, they're going to go off in a stack, kind of like my projects in my Latin classes used to be, where sometimes we'd write Cinderella stories in the middle of the translation because we knew the teacher only looked at the first and last paragraphs. You know, this is knowable whether these people are doing quality work, too. And so that's, again, maybe there's a case for revisiting the standards, but if the standards are what the standards are and all the stakeholders have agreed to that, it seems to me it's kind of Monday morning quarterbacking to pick on them afterward.
Exactly. As I say, the whole idea here is to provide a flexible workplace. And one way you provide a flexible workplace is in terms of when you work, but another way of providing a flexible workplace is in how fast you're able to complete your assigned work. And if I can complete my assigned work in a shorter period of time, then I ought to have the ability to have those hours to do as I choose.
Bob Tobias is Director of Key Executive Leadership Programs at American University, and I want to call on your expertise being in these situations. How do you, as in your case, a representative of employees, in your experience, how do you sit down with the other stakeholders that are involved, management at an agency, and build a framework that allows for flexibility to say, yes, periodically we can go back and revisit these requirements, the goals, and so on. Do it in a way that protects the rights of the employees and the ability of the employees to produce the work in a timely and a quality fashion so that everybody's satisfied, but so that you do have that kind of elasticity that we talked about a moment ago.
Well, I think, as President Budens pointed out yesterday, currently the work is getting done, but number two, they are identified as one of the best places to work in the federal government. And they, the management at PTO acknowledges that that has been achieved in collaboration with the employee unions at PTO. So they have a venue, they have an ability to have the kinds of discussions we're talking about right now in the context of that labor-management relationship.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing those come back, Bob? They disappeared almost during the Bush administration. President Obama committed to reintroducing those labor management, both the formal forums and the informal relationships. Is it your sense that they are rejuvenated in a healthy way across agencies like they are at PTO?
I think that PTO is clearly one of the leaders in creating these kinds of collaborative labor management relationships, and they did it intentionally. Historically, the relationship has been lousy, and the management made a strategic decision to change the labor management relationship, and they did. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the backlog has been successfully addressed.
I wonder, too, if you talked about the best places to work numbers, Bob, and I wonder if there is something, too, when you're going through the process of it, reevaluating what your goals are going to be. I wonder if agencies think about what how their employees will respond to changes and what that might do to morale, what that might do to the way that an employee views his or her work and his level of satisfaction with his or her work, because I may be able to turn it up so that my folks are hitting 12 patent examinations instead of 10. But if they don't like their jobs as much and I have a lot higher employee churn, which Mr. Budin says has really gone down significantly, then I haven't really accomplished anything for the long-term good of the agency. I've processed the backlog a little bit faster, but long-term, I haven't really accomplished much.
That's exactly right. And so it's not so simple as should I raise the standard. There are other factors to consider: turnover, quality, and long-term success. And it seems to me that labor management forum at PTO is the perfect place for that to happen.